Now let's take 707 through 714.
Yes, you can read them all once.
707, approve and terminate limited tax exemptions for properties under the Home Buyer Opportunity Limited Tax Exemption Program. 708, approve application under the Multi-Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Cathedral Flats located at 7220 North Burlington Avenue. 709, approve application for under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Powell Apartments located at 3730 Southeast Powell Boulevard. 710, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Redwood Apartments located at 233 Northwest 16th Avenue. 711, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for KOZ 216X Southwest Yamhill located at 2161 Southwest Yamhill Street. 712, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Block 290 KOTI located at 1417 Northwest 20th Avenue. 713, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for 14th and Gleason located at 1402 through 1430 Northwest Gleason Street. And 714, approve amended application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for Vancouver Avenue Apartments located at North Vancouver Avenue and North Shaver Street.
Thank you, colleagues. I'll let Dory Van Bockel walk through this in more detail. I'll just say 707 provides for 59 units of affordable home ownership, and it also removes 18 homes that are violating their tax exemption status. And then 708 through 714 approve six projects located in southeast, southwest, north, and northwest Portland, which will bring in a total of 105 units of affordable housing to low and moderate income Portlanders. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dory Van Bock. Unless Javier, did you want to say something?
Yep. No, okay.
Thought we had some slides, but that's okay.
Okay.
So actually you've said it there pretty well. I was going to bring up some totals, but yes, so the first measure, the resolution is to introduce or approve the, as we do quarterly, for the single family home ownership tax exemption program, as well as remove then any of the properties that we've identified have not met the owner occupancy requirement or has sold over the price limit in the first sale from the builder to the homeowner. And then we've also been very busy with applications for the multi-program in order to, which is the only program we have functioning right now with private developers, in order for them to include any affordable housing within the extreme amount of development that's happening across the city. And so with this, these are units that are going to be built anyway, but by being able to offset the cost of their reduced rents with this tax exemption, we're able to have 10 years of affordability. And by providing this program ongoing each year with a continued amount of expected foregone revenue, we're able to maintain a portfolio of this number of affordable units, even as others expire and new ones would get approved. So even though it's not a program that's able to serve the lowest income people, at up to 30% median family income, as we've talked about with the homeless issues today, or people transitioning out of homelessness, this is part of the continuum to do work for the community in the spectrum of housing outside of what the Housing Bureau is able to affect through direct funding. So with that, I'm really excited to see the participation in the program expand this year after we made changes last fall. We have these six great new applications, and then one that we just had to change a little bit to make it work financially. And we've got a pipeline still of additional applications competing, or not competing anymore, but, you know, in the works to get approved for additional applications this year, which is great to see. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sure.
About any of the specific projects or anything else about our application process.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Questions?
I have one question for Javier.
Yes.
Who are you picking in the COPA final?
I want to ask you a housing-related question. Javier and Dory kind of previewed my question, and I had a sidebar conversation with Kurt. So we have these different tools, TIF, that allows us to go deep into affordability, federal funds that have strings, the general fund component. The multi-program is one of our tools, and under Dan's leadership, we've got it unstuck. So today we're celebrating the fact that we got all these projects coming through the pipeline, because the truth is developers were not using this much before. So I guess this is a pretty significant example of the success of the changes that we adopted under Dan's leadership to make it more attractive to developers. And regardless of what kind of housing we're developing, it's in high opportunity areas. So that meets our overall goals of having some measure of affordability in desirable parts of the city. So I support all of that. I just want to ask you a structural question. Is it just the case, even under the new rules, that that the primary benefit we're going to see under the multi-program is between 60 and 80% MFI? Is that a structural reality? We should just measure success accordingly?
Yes. We're taking the AZ as an example. We are engaging with private developers that are looking to benefit from a program. At the same time, we are looking to benefit from their development. And the only way that we have seen this work is at that income level, unless the Bureau is willing or able to invest capital into developments, then that's a different issue. But as it is, that's why it's so superfluous, is because it is that's the shallow level that will be able to make it an option.
And I think what you've just done then is given the answer to the question. If you had $6.5 million to spend, because that's essentially the foregone revenue, and it was limited to what you could accomplish under this program, then this is a pretty good outcome, recognizing that, sure, we'd like to have more units 60 and below, but the way this is structured, it's unlikely we're going to get them through a voluntary mechanism.
Correct.
So Dan, as you come forward with the IZ proposal, where the legislature has given us the flexibility to buy down, what I'll be looking for is how do we use those tools to mandate that we get below 80%? This is a voluntary program, and no one has to participate. I think my preference would be to see more units at the 60%, but it is a market-driven process. And so I appreciate your answer.
Okay, other questions? Thank you both. Sign-up sheet. Anyone speak on this item? Okay, Mary, on this topic, we're running late, so if you could give us some help here, it would be appreciated.
Yes, Council, thank you so much for your service to the community, the sacrifice that you offer. My name is Mary Eng, but the sacrifice that you offer is beyond heroic. I have no idea how you handle these meetings every single week. I can only imagine if you have sore backs or headaches and that sort of thing. But I do find this very concerning. And as a citizen, I would like to invoke my right to have 3 minutes to commentate on this. And more generally speaking, I want to note that sometimes the legalese, the fiscal economic information, can be very confusing in these agendas. If I ever have an insight, I may be trying to translate that to a 14-year-old level. I might be trying to bridge the gap between your esoteric knowledge. We've got a few law degrees up here. We've got an engineer, a nurse. We have very highly skilled professionals with highly skilled educations. But sometimes I feel like one communication error we have is that assuming the public even knows what's going on. This is very complicated. So what I'm gathering is we've got a tax cut for developers to help them develop these properties that are listed in these several ordinances down from 708 down to what looks to be 713, and that these tax break there was some kind of note that this is sort of the beginning, but there might be some other kind of benefit towards this development. And what I'm concerned about, as I'm sure you know or can intuit with your intuition, is that I'm concerned about how, I'm just concerned who's benefiting if there is any conflict of interest, which evidently conflict of interest is normal in Oregon, we don't talk about it because we're such a small state with such a low population. But I want to know how, and when you say projects, are you meaning projects in an old-fashioned sense where low-income people live in projects? Are you talking about development projects for high-income people? What kind of projects do you mean? Do you mean rent gouging, Silicon Forest style, $3,000 a one bedroom style rents, or do you?
Wow,
you guys, sorry. I like you both. Sorry, so running, you can show me some respect. Late. I tried to show you some, but I do have questions and I do want answers. What does this all mean? Translate it into just a bullet point for me in 30 seconds, and let me know if it means what I think it means, which is some kind of cashola for developers. And I've got 13 seconds. I'll yield to Ms. Artist.
Go ahead, please.
My name is Artist Laura Vanderlyn, and I just wanted to make a comment about developing these properties. There's a lot of properties here and a lot of tax exemptions, and that to me just means renovations, and renovations means no-cause evictions, and that's what I am concerned about.
These are new construction.
These are brand new construction.
All of it's new, and okay. All of it's designed to sprinkle a little bit of affordability for people sort of who are priced out of the market in areas that have high opportunity, good schools, good transportation, and it's a very small part of our overall strategy.
It's not renovations.
It's all new.
Okay. Thank you for the clarity.
Thank you.
I like that one. Sprinkle.
Anyone else?
Affordability.
Sprinkle. Okay. Anything else from the council before we act on these? Good. Then let's take them in turn, please. 707.
That's seven. Yes. Yeah. 707 is a little different than the others because it's the report from the Housing Bureau that ensures that the investments we've already made under the Home Buyer Opportunity Limited Tax Exemption Program continue to meet the goals of the program. Once upon a time, this was administered by the Portland Development Commission. It is now ably administered by the Portland Housing Bureau. And while none of us like to celebrate people essentially being kicked off the program, from an accountability point of view, the reasons that a number of exemptions are being removed and the largest instance is because the properties no longer qualify means that there is adequate oversight of this program, ensuring that the public tax dollars are going to people that are eligible for the program. So it is not our favorite exercise to remove an exemption that someone originally qualified for, but it is an example of the kind of oversight that's being done to make sure the programs are working as intended. Aye.
Well, I want to thank the builders, many of them who are individual small infill builders who participate in this program to produce the 59 new units of affordable homeownership opportunities that are embodied in this resolution. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Here we are doing good things and spending taxpayers' money wisely to help people. Aye. Thank you.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, next item, please. 708.
The rest are all non-emergencies.
Oh, sorry. I thought we had to vote on that. Oh, you're right. They all passed a second reading.
There's a God. Mayor 721 is teed up.